Pastor Victor was here speaking on how wonderful it is, the joy of being found by Jesus and the joy of sharing that with others. And today he is preaching that same message at East. So next week we start a new series, Prayer in Hard Times. So I want to start this morning by reading from Matthew 4, verse 23 to 24. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. What an amazing time that must have been when Jesus Christ just went around and healed people. Sorry, I got to finish this yet. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. He healed them by his touch. So does Jesus still heal us today? We know that Jesus' touch heals much. That's what we're going to talk about. You know, there is so much disease and sickness in the world today. And there is so much medical technology and millions and billions of dollars going into research for healing diseases like cancer, like MS or Parkinson's disease or lung and heart conditions, all that stuff. And you think that by now, in this century, that all of disease would be eradicated, that we wouldn't suffer disease anymore. But it's not true. We still do suffer. People still get sick. And we all want to be healed. We all want to be touched by Jesus. And so, yeah, we wonder, does God still heal today? Well, the answer, the short answer is yes, an emphatic yes. God still heals today. There's many different ways that God heals us, and some is through the medical profession. I'll tell you my own story. A number of years ago, I think it was maybe 4 years ago, I got a problem with my eye, and I got a tear in my retina. And it was like there was this big black spider in my eye. And the optometrist said, this doesn't look so good. I think you should go to a retina specialist. And so he, with all of his machines there, could tell that, yeah, I had a horseshoe-shaped tear in my retina. So he said, well, I can fix it, though. Don't worry, I can fix it right now for you. And so I thought, okay, you know, like this doesn't sound so great, but laser surgery and a beam of laser right to the back of my eye to seal that tear. It was painful. Didn't feel very good. I fainted. He said, come back in a week and we'll check to see whether it's actually sealed good. Came back in a week and it was not quite sealed. And so he said, I got to do it again. So I thought, oh, I had prepared myself this time. I took some painkillers ahead of time, and it was better. But that night, my eye filled with blood. I had a hemorrhage. And so I phoned the 24-hour hotline of the retina clinic, and he said, come in the next morning. And so I did. Lawrence drove me, and he looked at it and said, yeah, a blood vessel burst. So my vitreous gel was full of blood, and he said, look, you have two options. You can leave it, and in, you know, 3-4 months, it'll clear on its own, or we can take the vitreous out and replace it with a saline solution. Well, I didn't know what to do. Lord, you know, what should I do? And during all of this time, we were praying, Lord, please, heal me. Heal my eye so I don't have to go through all this surgery. It just isn't pleasant. I don't want to do this. So anyway, we decided we would go for the surgery. So right that afternoon, went to the Royal Alec, and they removed the vitreous out of my eye. And The trouble was they couldn't fill it with saline solution because the retina was detaching from the back of the eye, and they had to fill it with gas instead. And the most remarkable thing is the body does heal itself too, right? My eye filled with fluid slowly over 10 days. So my sight started returning. When you don't have fluid in your eye, you can't see. So this eye was blind. The fluid filled my eye. So amazing. It was like a builder's bubble. I would turn my head like this, and I could see the level staying level. It was the strangest thing. Absolutely amazing. And then when it was full, I could see again, perfectly clear. But the doctor told me, you will get a cataract. That's the results of this surgery. And it's possible that you get a membrane growing over your retina. But we have surgery for that too. So a year later, you know, and in the meantime, we're praying, Lord, please just heal my eye so I don't get the cataract, so I don't get this membrane growing over my retina. But it was not to be. Well, God healed me, but through medical technology again. I had the cataract surgery and had a epiretinal membranectomy, which is the removal of that membrane. They have to drill holes in the eye, pull it out with a forceps. Unbelievable. I know. It's on YouTube. You can search it and look and watch it. Like, not my eye, but someone else's. It's absolutely amazing what technology can do nowadays. And so I had a prescription lens put in my eye instead of the poor one I had before. And so my vision in this eye is 20/20. Praise God. And so I am so grateful to God for healing. I am so grateful to the medical field for all of the research they do and the technology that is available to do these kind of very minute surgeries. And, you know, 30 years ago, I'd have been blind because this eye also started having problems with a tear in the retina at the same time. So I was like, Lord, I don't want to be blind. Like, can you imagine being blind? And I'm just so grateful to God for healing. And I know Banny has a similar story in that he was diagnosed with kidney cancer last fall. And he went through surgery in January, and they removed his cancerous kidney. And because of technology, they found it early enough that the tumor early enough so it hadn't spread to any parts of his body. And he gives God the honor and the praise and the glory for healing through medical technology. And he's up here today singing like, wow, praise God, praise God. Amen. But, you know, we really do want to know, but does God still heal miraculously, instantly, supernaturally, by just a touch, through people who pray? Does he still do that today? And I know some people who have received divine healing instantly, like for back pain, or for, trigeminal neuralgia. I have a friend who was healed of that, just searing pain from nerve pain in the cheek. So, yeah, it is a question that we want to know. And why doesn't God heal everyone? And I think that in third world countries, that does happen way more often. We read stories of miracles happening, of healing. And maybe it's because they don't have the medical technology that we have, that we can rely on. I don't know. These are all mysteries that we won't know. We were in Mexico a few weeks ago, and there was a young family there whose daughter was paralyzed, she was crippled. Her legs were all deformed, and there was no way that she could even stand. She was in a wheelchair, and she was probably 20-ish, and her father was just pulling the wheelchair through the sand backwards down to the water and carrying her, lifting her into the water so she could feel the waves and the salt water and everything. And Lawrence said to me after, you know, wouldn't it be amazing If I could just go up to her and touch her and say, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus, get up and walk. And he didn't dare. He was like, oh, that would look really stupid if I went and did that and then nothing happened, you know? So what about our faith? And when we earlier were talking about, what do you think about supernatural healing? Then I was talking to John and Courtney and Catherine here, and Catherine said, you know, I think that oftentimes we'll say or hear someone say, yeah, I was healed by God. And you say, really? I'm sure it's just going to come back. You know, like, where is our faith? And do we actually believe that God really heals today? I'm going to call up Garrett and Amika, and they are going to read a few more scripture passages about what Jesus did in his healing ministry.
Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man.
I am willing,
he said.
Be clean.
And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him,
don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.
Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped.
Who touched me?
Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said,
someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me.
Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her,
daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.
While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus,
don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed.
When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her.
Stop wailing,
Jesus said.
She is not dead, but asleep.
They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said,
my child, get up.
Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened.
Thank you, Garrett and Amika. Those sure are incredible stories, eh? Just amazing. And you can just think about the people who Jesus touched. Like the leper. In those days, leprosy was, well, it always is a painful disease where fingers and toes and nose, ears fall off. But the person was excluded from community. They were not allowed to be in the town with the people. They were not allowed to live with their families. They couldn't have jobs. They lived in the caves, outside, never being able to join in the festivals or the feasts that they had, couldn't go to the weddings or the funerals. They were outcasts. And also, they were unclean, ceremonially unclean. So if anybody came in contact with them, that person would become unclean and then have to go through all kinds of ritual cleansings, like baths, to become clean again. When we were in Jerusalem a number of years ago, we actually went to the place where the temple was, and just outside of that were baths. They were carved into the rock, and they had little rock stairs going down into them, and they did have water in them, probably rainwater. So we touched that water just to see how cold it was. It was absolutely freezing cold. And I thought, whoa, that's tough. You had to go through these cleansing rituals and go through these into these baths that are so cold. I'm sure they weren't heated. It was just rainwater. When you go through the Old Testament, you will read, especially in the book of Leviticus, about these laws of unclean and clean, what was clean, what was not. If you touched anything that was unclean, how you had to, or what you had to do to become clean again. We also read the story of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. She also was unclean. And if anyone touched her, they would have to go for these cleansing rituals. You can just imagine how they felt after they were healed, because they could be a part of the community again. They could be included. Their uncleanness was gone. And the woman who was ill and bleeding, she touched Jesus. She was showing her faith in Jesus by just saying to herself, you know, if I just touch the hem of his cloak, I'll be healed. And she was, instantly. And Jesus could feel that healing power go out from him, and he wanted to know who touched him. It wasn't like he was going to reprimand this person or chide them for that they touched him. No, he wanted to speak words of encouragement. And like to the woman, he calls her daughter. What a beautiful way to call her or bring her back into community, into family. He wants to show her his love and compassion. And Jairus, he comes up at the beginning of the story that we read and tells Jesus, look, my daughter, my only child is dying. Please come. And Jesus, he says, yes, I'll come. But then in the meantime, he's detained by this woman and he just takes all the time in the world just to talk to her and everything. And Jairus is probably going, Jesus, don't take so long. My daughter's dying. I need you. Come quickly. And then in the meantime, his friends come and say, your daughter has died. Don't even bother the teacher anymore. Interesting that their faith included that Jesus could heal the daughter while she was still alive. But once she died, it would be beyond anything that even Jesus could do. Jesus isn't concerned about that. It's like, to him, it doesn't matter. You're sick or you've just died. He can still heal. You see, Jesus' touch heals much. Jesus, when he touches, like even dead people are unclean. Jesus touched the girl and said, get up. You're not asleep or you're not dead. You're only asleep. Just get up. And she does. An amazing miracle. So Jesus touched the leper. He touched the woman who was bleeding. He touched the dead girl. And you'd think then that he would become unclean because all of those people were unclean. But no. Jesus doesn't go through those purifying rituals. He just takes their uncleanness upon himself, and he gives them his cleanness. And he says, no matter how stained you are, no matter how tainted, no matter how sick, or no matter what you've done, I'll take that upon myself, and I'll give you my cleanness. I will bring you into community. You see, what Jesus does for us, for those people in that time, was that he said, he is bringing something very new in here. He's talking about transference, that what he takes into himself is the disease, the pain, the suffering, and he gives his cleanness, his wholeness, his love to those people. It's a transfer there. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. We'll read that together. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Graham, can you put that up on the screen? Let's read that together. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. So Jesus takes upon himself our disease, our sickness. Let's continue. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Yes, by his wounds we are healed. You see, Jesus, when he came to earth, he was bringing in the kingdom of God. That first passage that I read from Matthew 4, it says that Jesus was healing people miraculously, and he was bringing in the kingdom of God. Jesus was showing people what it meant that the kingdom of God was here, was there. Jesus, let me explain to you, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is where everything is perfect, where everything is in perfect relationship with everything else. Every person is in perfect relationship with every other person. There's no strife or chaos or war, or there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no evil, there's no sin. Jesus was showing us, those people at that time, what the kingdom of God would be like. At one point, when Jesus comes again, then the kingdom of God will come in all of its fullness. Right now, we're living in that in-between time. When Jesus came the first time to give us a glimpse, to give us a taste of what the kingdom of God is like. And when he comes again a second time, then the kingdom of God will be full and there will be no more pain or suffering. So we ask again, does God still heal today like Jesus did? Well, we know for sure that he heals through medical technology. But what about those miracles? Yes, I believe he definitely does still heal today. And there are things that we can't really know or understand. My dad, for instance, about a year and a half ago, he got ill with an E. coli virus or infection, and he died within 36 hours. It was so fast, we just could not believe it. He was sick through the night. My mom called an ambulance early in the morning, it was Sunday, and brought him to emergency at the Royal Alec, and they didn't know what was wrong, and after a while, you know, diagnosed that it was E. coli. But his kidneys started shutting down, his respiratory system started shutting down, his heart started shutting down. And my brother called me Sunday morning, and we were at the church service, and we were having, you know, table fellowship, and my brother didn't make it sound extremely urgent, so we stayed. and then went after lunch and went to the hospital. And by that time, they had intubated him, which means they put a tube through his throat, down his throat, to help him breathe. And so he couldn't speak anymore. And I don't think he was really conscious. So even by then, he couldn't understand us. So I never had a chance to say goodbye to him. He never had a chance to say anything to us. We gathered the whole family around, started praying around his bedside, reading scriptures, praying and beseeching God, please don't let him die. And the doctors are saying, look, this is really serious. He might not pull through. I need to tell you this. So we got all of our relatives and all the people that we knew to start praying. Pray for my dad. He's dying. How could this be in a day of such medical technology that he's dying of an E. coli bacteria? And so we went again the next morning to the hospital, and the doctor said, he has deteriorated overnight. We have to turn off all of the machines because they're harming him rather than doing good. They're really only just keeping his kidney and heart and lungs working, but he's not doing anything on his own. So they turned off all of the machines, and within a few minutes, he was gone. He never, ever spoke to us again. We never got to say goodbye. So hard. And we're like, God, you could have healed him. So yeah, there are so many questions that we have about healing. So many questions. God, really? And so, you know, I just want to now look at some things about why God might not heal us in the way that we want. For my dad, I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it was his time to go. That was the time that God had ordained, the day that he would die, and he went home to be with his Lord, where he is now perfectly healed, and he's fine. But other things why God wouldn't heal us today. One thing would be just unbelief. We talked about earlier, unbelief. When Jesus was at his hometown in Nazareth, it says in Matthew 11, verse 58, that Jesus couldn't even do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And in James 4, verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. In other words, if you don't believe that God is actually going to heal you miraculously, you're not even going to ask, right? Your prayers are more like, God, guide the physician's hands, you know, help the nurses, that sort of thing. And also lukewarm faith. You know, Jesus said that in Revelation 3, there's all these letters to the churches, and the church to Laodicea got this letter saying, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because your faith is so lukewarm. I don't really know what lukewarm faith is exactly, but it definitely doesn't mean that we're really close to God. I think that our faith needs to grow through becoming close to God, building that relationship that we've been talking about with Jesus that builds up our faith. A second reason why God may not heal today is that God will just give the person the grace to endure the suffering. I know nobody wants to hear that. They don't want to have the grace to endure the suffering. They just want to get over with the suffering. But God says, yeah, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul wrote about this, about his thorn in the flesh, that he prayed for three times that God would remove this thorn in his flesh. We don't really know what that thorn was, but in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me this thorn away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, in that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So yeah, God will give us the grace that we need to endure the suffering that we have or that are in. Another reason why God may not heal us today is the refining value of suffering. That's another thing that we don't want. We don't want to be refined. I mean, if we have to go through a refiner's fire, that's painful. We don't want all of that to work, God to work on our character. But 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So yeah, our suffering is used by God to refine our character, to make us more and more like Christ, so that he allows us to bring glory to God through our suffering, through our testimony of how, yes, God is with me in all of this. I know that he is with me. How many of you know of Johnny Erickson Tada? A few of you. She was 14 when she dove into a lake and she hit her head on the bottom and she cracked her neck, severed her spinal cord. She was, or has been, a quadriplegic now for over 40 years. Many, many people prayed for her for healing, anointed her with oil, laid hands on her and prayed for her. And yet, God didn't heal her in the way that she wanted to be healed. But God healed her inner self, her heart, so that she could be a witness to others and speak to others through her testimony of how good God is. And she says now, "I would rather have a relationship with Jesus Christ than to be able to walk." Wow. Wow. She has a ministry now to the disabled, and she speaks to them of God's love and his grace. And another reason that God might not heal us today is God's sovereign timing. And just, there are sovereign mysteries that we will never be able to solve. Jesus, when he went around the pool of Bethesda, he said to one man who was crippled, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "Well, I want to be able to walk." And Jesus said, "Get up and walk. Pick up your mat. You're healed." And he did. But Jesus did not go around the whole pool and do that for everybody there, just for that one man. We don't know why. That's a real mystery, sovereign mystery. You know, God is sovereign. He knows what is best for each person. He knows each one of you. He knows everything that you are going through. He knows you. He loves you. And he is said that he would put everything together for good. Another reason why you might not be healed is that you might need to go through inner healing first. The wounds of your heart, things that happened to you in your past, abuses or traumas, or maybe you're just holding unforgiveness in your heart or unconfessed sin. You know, our bodies are so amazing and so intricate. Our spiritual, our emotional, our mental, our physical aspects are all so intertwined, we can't separate them. So when we have physical illness, it could be because of sickness in the heart. I know of a lot of different people who, when we pray for inner healing for them, for Jesus to come and to heal the wounds inside, then their physical problems are also gone. There was a man who had such back pain, he couldn't get off the couch. We went to pray for him, and didn't even pray for healing for his back, just prayed for healing for his heart, his soul, that was broken because he couldn't forgive his mother for what she had done to him. And when he did come to the point of being able to forgive her, his back was also healed and he could get up and walk again. So you see, there are so many complexities to healing. And I know many, many people who have been healed by Jesus' touch, but touching their heart instead of the physical. And so, yes, Jesus' touch heals much. Do you believe it? You know, Jesus took upon himself our pain and our suffering. You can know for sure that Jesus loves you because he went to the cross to die for you. He took all of your sickness and your pain, and he took it upon himself while he was hanging on the cross, and he took it and descended into hell with it because he loves us so much. You can be assured that no matter what suffering you are going through, what pain, what disease, what sickness, he knows it. He knows it. And he loves you. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. And he has conquered sin and death and evil and disease on the cross. Jesus, and I'll end with this verse from Revelation 21, verse 3 to 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away." Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you so much for your healing touch. Thank you that you are the great physician and that all healing comes from you. We ask you, Lord, that you help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to put our trust in you, to know that you hold us and that you can see the big picture of our lives and that you will weave it into something beautiful. We thank you for your love for us, that you died for us on the cross, that you took all our suffering and pain and sickness to the cross. To you be all the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen. So we are going to sing. The praise team will lead us in a song called Healer. Right after that time, we will have prayer ministers at the front to pray for you. And we would be very remiss if we did not offer this time of healing prayer. So I will give you the instructions of what we're all going to do after the song of this healing song. So you may be seated. Just going to read a couple of passages in Scripture that talk about prayer for the sick. So James 5, verse 14 to 16, let's read this together. "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And then John 14, verse 12. This is really amazing. I think a lot of us just skip over this verse when we're reading the book of John. This is Jesus speaking. Let's read this together. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus said to his disciples, his followers in Acts, he says, "Wait until you have been clothed with power from on high." That is the Holy Spirit in us, to do greater things than Jesus did. Jesus came to earth and he gave us a glimpse of the kingdom of God, where there's no more sickness and pain and suffering, where he healed people of their diseases. And then he said, "You will be doing greater things than I did." Amazing, isn't it? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us.